against a projected pace from a matchup then? Is that what you're saying too, goodness?
That's what I did here.
I mean, that's what I'm assuming.
I projected a pace. Sure, project anything. But to make sure of what you project, nobody's going to be running faster then, because it lapses up your whole figure. Everybody's going up, and it's harder to determine than it is when you see them decelerate. The set of pace is fast.
When you're doing that, you know, trying to take the sprinter to the route, and you're taking the, especially to the shipper, you know, using, you find out the track records to get the thing. Are you supposed to distribute that to the first two calls, too, to make it fair? In other words, if you got three fifths, do you give one, two, and then three at the end to make the difference right? So you're really adjusting all three of his calls?
Yeah, we're going to do that as soon as everybody's going to
show the target. It doesn't show. It just shows doing it, you know, adjusting. But you should divide it up and divide those differences
the
up.
The thing we're starting on page 26 takes all three.
Okay.
Anybody have any more on this before we go to the next slide?
Yeah. The thing is, when we put a cross state line in the computer, say you start stretching out from a guru, and then the horse has the most powerful, just say it's a 6 furlong race, and you have a 10 second track, although it looks like you're tailing off.
Any horse that loses substantially in the second fraction is not a contender, if that's his pattern. I mean, one bad race doesn't pattern. But if he always runs a second fraction that is substantially beneath the pace of the race relative to his first fraction, you know he dies early. And he may still run a good second call because his first fraction may have been dynamite. When he starts dying against the pace, even though he may make a substantial lead, he starts dying there, you know that deceleration curve is going to continue, and you can see it when you draw it. You might not see it when you look at the fraction. It might be 25 and 2, and the pace of the race is 25. And really, you say, hey, he had a real big lead. He's only behind 2 in the second fraction. So draw this chart, and it'll show you how important that is relative to the race. But the value of 3 in the second fraction.
And if the horse is a sustained horse in sprint, then
he won't have a good first fraction.
But toward the end, he'll be close to the pace of the race.
Yeah, most good sustained horses, most good closers start that move in the second fraction. It's hidden. He's so far behind, the public doesn't start to analyze it. He runs a 20, let's say he runs a 47. And he runs 5 lengths behind. Now he's 3 lengths behind the 1, 11, 2. He's gained 3 lengths. He started his move. Now he's only 1 length behind. He's continued to overcome the pace of the race after that bad first fraction. So look for an upward arc in that first to second fraction period when you're doing this. Or if you use the pace of the race program. All these are really are tools for losers who can't see the race. Plus he can. He sees. He says, well, you want to dazzle me with a bunch of circles. He sees it, but a lot of other people don't see it, believe me. And by doing this a few hundred times, it teaches you to analyze the pace of the race and how a horse will run against it. And you start getting 5 more winners in every 100. Now you're going from 55 to 60, and you're in the ballpark for making a living at this. Any more questions on that? Try it a few times. Actually doing it yourself will clarify all of this. You're looking at somebody else's handiwork and their mistakes and their shortcuts and whatever. You can do it yourself, establish a pattern and do it. Okay, what is one of our biggest problems has been is equating fractions from one track to another track, especially in equating fractions of sprinters with routers. And using total energy adjustments in the past has not been satisfactory because the sprinter always has the best early energy, regardless of whether he's a good sprinter or a bad sprinter, etc. They play in Las Vegas, so they'll have more fun with this. If you can play just Southern California, we can give you a multiplier that is pretty accurate. Let us say that we have established a par pace of the race. When I say par, I mean something that is relative to winning. In a route of 46-1, 111-1, the final fraction of 32. This is in 142-1. Now you've got a sprinter. He runs it in 22, 45, 25, or 110. And let's say these are the pace of the race. He did well, and they should win these races. You're looking for winners to establish this. You don't care how far they're beaten here or here, you just want them to be winners. I'm taking a mile 16 and 20, you can do it any distance you want. So how do we equalize those? This could be two sprints, two different tracks, it could be anything. How do we equalize? Pretty simple. Divide 46-1 by 22. And make it 46-2 instead of what you have to do in tenths with our calculator, commands tenths. Remember, this is 71 and 2.
Dr. Kern, what's the number we're dividing by again?
Hmm?
What was the number we're dividing by again?
Dividing this into this.
Oh.
We want to find out the relationship, the percentile relationship between a sprint fraction and a route fraction. Use the second call, the first fraction, second call, and final fraction. So what is it, 1.57, 1.58, something? Huh?
1.58.
Good. 1.58, right? I'm going to have to go to this thing with you. The frustrates people. They never can remember whether it's you multiply it by 4 and divide by 5 or multiply by 5 and divide by 4. You can do that though, can't you? On the
We're
going
to find out.
Okay, stop. Y'all see us then?
Where's that 1.58?
Huh?
Where's the 1.58?
How did you get to 2.1?
Just
continue to do it over here. Whatever you did the first time, you did the second time.
1.47.
Huh?
You want the last one, 1.47.
No, it's not, but that's why we're talking about it. I think it's expensive.
Because it's a different distance.
143, 142.
Yes.
Caught again.
The differences between this number and this number is. How many, well, let's look, bring it down in the 16th. How many half furlongs are here as opposed to here? 5 and 4, right? Okay.
Well, I look at the faces, I don't see all right.
That's right.
Okay. This is a mile of 16th race. This is 4 furlong call, 6 furlong call, and this 32 seconds is the time that it took them to run from 6 furlongs to 8.5. That's 2.5 furlongs, right? Down here, 2 furlong call, 4 furlong call, 6 furlong call, 2 furlongs. Equating this number to this number isn't correct because of the fact you've got an extra half furlong stuck in here. So, you need to change one of them.
let's take 25, divide it by 4, multiply it by 5, equals
31.25.
What did we just solve? What does that mean? We made a common distance out of it.
We made a common distance, a common... Now we can do the same thing with this. We can divide 32 divided by 5 times 4, and we get 25.6. In other words, I would say these are so close, you don't really need to worry about it.
Worry about it anyway. Why are we doing it this way, Jay, instead of what he just did? Why are we equating it to this fraction?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Yeah.
Why are we making 25 a 30 number instead of making the 30 number a 25 number?
Right! He's got it. Right on. Because that's the distance we're trying to equate it to.
You know what I'm saying?
Today's race.
You would come up with a mile time if you... And you'd have no idea what you're talking about. Now, divide. I took you 4 hours today. And it always, just about always comes out one point.
Yeah, it's almost... personally, I don't think I failed it. But you do need to change... one of these into the other. You can't compare two and a half to do and make any kind of sense out of it.
Right, you wouldn't get it.
And this is the problem a lot of people have. They look at a 32 and a 25. Which one is faster? Is 2.5 furlongs going running 32 seconds faster or slower than 2 furlongs running 25? Most of us don't have a good feeling for that. However, most of us have a pretty good feeling that a 31.25 is a little tiny pace faster than a 32. And that's all that we're doing here, is trying to find out if this horse belongs. If this had come out to a 30, to a 29, again, it comes out to a 35, better run. Does everyone see where we're going?
Well, you mean it in reverse.
Do I? Reverse.
29, you bet 35, you wouldn't.
Right.
But it
I thought it was a sprinter going into a route.
Well, you still want to run a 30.
Well, I say, okay. I'm looking at things for a second. You're right. Never mind.
Ah, the gods all have to play teeth.
What I did was I divided this number. Okay, what I'm doing is, this one has 4 sixteenths, this one has 5 sixteenths. Therefore, I'm going to divide this one by 4 and multiply by 5 to equalize the two numbers. So if you were going the other way, you could divide by 5 and multiply by 4.
Okay. I want to know how you got 1.2.
Oh, you divided 31.25 into 32. Right.
Now, if it were 9 furlongs, you've got 6 sixteenths, you would convert, but the multiplier would be 6 instead of 1.
Yeah. See, this would be a 38.
37 something would end up there.
Okay.
But you'll find just the number you get using that formula. Now, if you need to get the formula before you go, Dick will give it to you. We wrote it down yesterday. He didn't. In fact, give it to him. The number of sixteenths.
It all derives around this. And you don't need to worry.
You multiply by the distance from and divide by the distance you're going into, right?
Yeah, because now you have to do the same. Did you do it here or not?
No, you don't have to do it there.
Okay.
Is this the common?
It's common word.
Okay. Those are always, you're always dividing 2 into 4, so if you wanted it to come out a little nicer and neater, you could multiply that one by 2. And divide it, but it's not necessary because these numbers never change. This was always 2, this was always 4. This number changes.
This number is 5 to 4.
Unless you want to make a special one of these charts for 6 and 8, 6 and 8 and a half, 6 and a 9, 6 and a 9 and a half, and then 6 and a half and 8, and make 1,000 charts, We can do that too, but this is a lot easier and a lot faster.
Incidentally, these good Lufthansa are in your blue manual. You
yeah, the good old blue first time manual.
Calculator supplement.
So. The other thing is, I think it would probably be more accurate doing this if instead of using just a couple races you grab out of the racing form to make the equation, you actually used the dirty word, the par, or the average of what the horses have been running, say, in the last week. If you knew it, if you don't know it, look at dirty. Better than nothing. But if you know that the, remember what you're doing is you're not trying to equalize two horses, you're trying to equalize two distances. So if you know that this is about what they've been running for the last week at 6 furlongs, it's about what they've been running for the last week at a mile 16th, then you have a pretty good feeling for the distance between those horses. And remember what we're trying to do, we're trying to find out if these horses stretch out or not.
The standard multiplier in Southern California, other than Pomona, has been 209, 155, 1.02. That's based on a part of over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So if I was playing in Vegas, you'll have to start from scratch if you're playing other tracks. But that's standard for Southern California up to Pomona, which won't do the same problem because it's a short track.
Yesterday, Tom Hamilton was telling us that for the last time he came out here, and I'm going to show him how to do this. Well, he took a call, and he's been translating all of his distances, all of his sprint races, for instance, he'll translate to 6 furlongs. All of his route races, he'll translate, I guess, to a mile 16. And he said it really gives him a good feeling for who belongs and who doesn't. If you look, you have a horse that ran a 110, 6 furlong, another horse that ran a 116, 6 and a half. Does that horse, do they belong in the same race together? You have to. That's not an easy question to answer right off the top of your head.
Nobody answers that.
Yeah, no one
The rule of thumb is six. I keep them in just to look at them. But the rule of thumb is six seconds.
Six.
That's just the rule of thumb, that's all.
Yeah, well, this is a lot better than a rule of thumb.
Right. But you wouldn't throw them out until you look at them. You don't throw anybody
This is
out
a way to translate that 116 down to, let's say, 110-2 or whatever it works out to be and say, oh, yeah, this horse belongs. Or, oh, no, this horse is nowhere. It's not precise, and it's not a handicapping method, it's a contender choice. But it really will point you in the right direction, and it'll, many times Tom says he winds up, he looks down and he'll have two horses or three horses left. They're contenders, they can run against these kinds of times.
Okay, using the standard multiplier, the one that we have adopted is pretty much, let's see if this horse projects into your route. Let's do it. With your handheld calculator, running 23, 46, 26. Use our standard multiplier of speed and see how he runs against this 143 to 105. It's a lot more fun. Everybody got a handheld calculator?
Nope.
Somebody with a handheld calculator do it, and
I'm good enough.
Oh, well, do it out loud like you were applying.
Okay, 23 times 2.09 is 48.07. I'm just going to put the raw times up there, then we'll translate them. 46 times 1.55 is 71.3, and 26 times 1.02. is 26 and a half.
Then you got to convert 26 and a half to a 30 number.
0.52. Then we will divide that by 4 and multiply it by 5, giving us 33.15.
Now add 71.3 with 33.15.
Now, okay. Can everyone translate those back into reality? Okay, we have a 48. What's the 1.3.
11, 2 and a half.
1 and a half.
1 and
11,
half.
1.
111, 1 and a half.
111, 1 and a half. So we'll call him 111 and 1. We'll be generous. What the heck? This is loosey-goosey stuff, right? Okay. Our final one is 104.45. Anybody?
144
and 2.
144. Has to be a 4 here. 144
and 2.
And 2. Okay.
Now, does that horse project into or up?
144 and 2.
144.
Does not, he cannot project into that route.
Not off the 143.
Now, this should, his time of the projected route should be allowing him not to utilize the route.
Give yourself a little margin of error here.
But how many of you would have taken a horse that won, winning off these fractions and entered them into your computer as a sprinter going into a route? You would, but I've... How many can honestly say they wouldn't? That's what's killing a lot of people. That's why a lot of people are getting sprinters coming out of the top that don't belong in the race. This will tell you whether or not it belongs in the race. This one belongs in the race. This one does not. Don't be putting in sprinters into routes just to see what might happen. And what might happen is if you don't properly evaluate them before you put them in, they're going to look like world beaters, even slow sprinters. Not so much in Senator Two but in all the other programs. Okay. Does everybody understand this process?
How did you come up with that 1445 and 3315?
Well, he has the second call the final price.
Yeah. You get this one, when you multiply 26 by 102, you get the 2652. But that's a 4 furlong, that's a 4/16 time. So we need to turn it into a 5/16 time. So we'll divide this by 4, multiply by 5, giving us a 35. Okay. That's added to 71.3, giving us 104.45, which translates out to 144.2. The horse is in tough against the 143 flat. He figures to lose by 7 lengths.
If he holds up.
You know, the Lord willing that the creek don't rise this week. Well, I'm talking about guesswork here. The horse didn't do these calculations, chances are, so you may not know about it. But this is you have to make this equation between sprinters and routers. You can do exactly the same thing if you had 4-7 furlong horses and 1-6.
Yeah.
Average your 4-7s, throw your 1-6s, and translate them. See if he mixes with this bunch or not. Because many times a horse may win that 6.
Yeah,
when you're going
in
against the
7th,
you
don't get
it all.
Evaluate them this way. It's very fast once you get there.
Of course, when you don't sprint this one.
Very fast. All this is just how you do it. The formula is to get a common multiplier. Once you get the common multiplier that you're satisfied is representative that you track, you've got it made, and you just do this bang, 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 bang on your handheld calculator, and you'll stop putting in a lot of horses.
Stop your multiplier.
They have held up all year at our mile-long track. We're not gospel in the form.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood.
No, Hollywood's a mile-long track, but yeah, it works there.
Yeah, fun.
Hollywood was running when I first learned it, and I went home and people were tried out. Sure enough. My own Yemeni, it works great.
Now,
and you can also develop multipliers for 6 and 6.5, 6 to 7, whatever it may be. That way you can have a multiplier to find out. I think we all know, particularly in Hollywood, that the most dramatic that I've seen is the difference between 6 and 6.5. Internal fractions are very different, because they're starting at 6 so close to the turn that particularly the second call tends to be really a very different number. Sometimes a full second. If you have a mixed race of 6.5 Hollywoods, 6 Hollywoods, and 6 Santa Anitas, which we will be getting in another month, you have to have some way of equating all those horses. This is the way.
At Sportsman's Park in Chicago, the 6.5 furlong races are run faster than the 6 furlong races.
They are at Hollywood also.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yep.
It's
the anomaly.
Well, no, it's not really an anomaly. If you think about it. Look where
it's where the gate is.
Look where they're starting.
That's hits the gate.
They start so close to the corner of Hollywood, and the same thing is really true at Belmont. They start pressing in the corner. That by the time they get at Santa Anita, when they bust out of a six or six and a half, they got that nice long straight to fire away, and there's not much difference. By the time they hit the corner, they're ready to slow down anyway. But at Hollywood, they're fresh when they hit the corner, and they have to slow down, just like you do when you go around a corner in your car.
Okay, in the matchup manual, we showed you a long, accurate way to balance the fractions with the same distance. People say, hey, Jimmy, how can you tell me that you know that 46 and 4 at Canterbury Downs is 46 and 1 at Exarbon? He says, I just know. As he absorbs, he knows, like this gentleman back here has a tendency to know that sort of thing. But he also knows probably a whole lot of tracks he played. Just develops a knowledge of what it is. But not all of us can do that. So what we want to do is do what we did but for the same distance coming from different tracks. Now we know that the Canterbury Downs Horse at the same class level runs a good race and that's the time to go. Or it's Vancouver or wherever you want it to be. Bay Meadows, Golden Gate. We've established that, that horse wins at those with those fractions, takes the race. He wins just as regularly there as this horse wins at Santa Anita. So you say, hey, well, this horse doesn't match up at all. Throw him out. And he wins on you. You do, oops, the matchup's no good. Hey, find the common multiply. If this horse is truly as good as this horse, and it's the surface he's running on at the point of the separation, use your multiplier. Now the horse will be judged, when you equalize them, he'll now be judged on how well he runs against the pace. Now that's a heck of a lot better than taking off two ticks as a speed handicap, or three ticks, or whatever they say. This is accurate. All you've got to make sure is that this horse is of the same class and is winning at the same class and is capable, therefore, of running these kinds of fractions on a faster track. That's how you equate it. Any questions on that? Now, using the same multiplier, I said, well, this one's he's only one-fifth off at the second call, and he runs up the heck of a good first fraction. He's a little bit off here, but he's just as good as that horse. Tell me if he is. Multiply his fraction by the common denominator, 1.05. Remember, use tenths.
What
is that? Hmm? I'm just want to find out, is this part any good? 23.2 is 23.4, right? Okay. He's not going to make it. So, do it. Now, when you're doing slower to faster, you would reverse the procedure. You call it a 95 multiplier. Wouldn't you or would you? It doesn't matter, but if you divide 22 by the 23 and 1, which is 23.2, you come with 94.8 as a multiplier, and you would get then, it would be equated to this instead of this. Which one do you want to equate it to?
Where you're shipping in.
Equate it to your home track, obviously.
Where you're shipping
whichever
in.
One you're saying, you get the same difference.
But just a slight deviation
this horse, he's not going to come down here and compete. He is a slow horse. This other one is not a slow horse. He's nearly slow based on the track surface. The he was winning at that same class level as every place. Does everybody follow this procedure? This is a vital procedure.
Can you put that, can you follow this in the best case now?
Now, there's a good question. Pond up. Mr. Agaginian did.
I think it kind of almost depends on the program he is in, too. I would not put the adjustment on his incentive.
You
the
have?
Energy program, I think there was. Our office scan, for instance. In phase three, if you didn't have any other adjustments and weren't doing any class adjustments, yeah, I think there was.
The problem is, if you're making a mistake, if you're misperceiving or using the wrong multiplier, it's going to compound your quality vastly.
Oh, yeah. The paramutual machines usually are self-correcting.
That's the danger. I've always said, hey, do it at your own risk. If you've got horses who are contenders, this is really to eliminate non-contenders. Get them out of there. You get down to three and four awfully easy if you go through some.